Welcome back to Sports Day SA. David Wildey and Malcolm Blight for the Weeks Building Group. Thinking new home, you get more at Weeks. We've been discussing Blighty Tasmanian footy. I've always felt that they, even though they're a minnow, they are a football state.
Sure.
You played state footy against them. I can remember the Tasmanian jumper.
Yeah.
500,000 people there. It's not a big population, but the Premier's come out and said if he doesn't get any clarity and if they're going to go in or out, they might take away some sponsorship. And who better to talk to than a man that was born in Tasmanian, Launceston, wonderful commentator in his own right, is Tim Lane. Tim, thanks for your time. Have you got any thoughts on a team in Tasmania?
Well, thanks for having me, gentlemen. I have, and I'm always happy to share them. I've beaten the drum on this over quite a few years, and I believe strongly that Tasmania should have a team. It's been put to me by Peter Gordon, who, as president of Footscray and later of the Western Bulldogs, has seen the economies of football clubs from both ends of the spectrum of failure and success. He says to me that he believes there's no economic case against Tasmania anymore. So, I mean, if you're prepared to believe that, and I do without being, you know, a genuine football economist, it is a matter of finding a way of doing it. And I have to say that this has been on the agenda really since Tasmania began hosting games, 15 to 20 years ago at York Park in Launceston.
Yeah.
And nothing has happened. And I say nothing's happened. There's been no progress. But what has happened is that Tasmanian football is on a pathway to terminal decay. And if the games administration doesn't do something about that, a state and its football potential, as well as its history, is lost. And I think there's a responsibility on the AFL to be trying to find a way rather than, as I see it, twiddling their thumbs and hoping that something will come up.
As you know, Tim, a great place to call footy in Tassie, Launceston in particular. They've got the infrastructure there. It is a football state. It wouldn't take much to revive that the local competitions. We've also heard it's in decline and needs to go the other way.
Well, it's the only way because the AFL is so big. It's a juggernaut and it's not its fault. You know, it speaks of the success of successive football administrations going back to the days of the VFL. But, you know, with the South Australian and Western Australian administrations involved and developing ones, you know, in the East Coast expansion states. So footy has done well in so many ways, but Tasmania has been left behind. And there is only one way. You're either part of the AFL. It's a bit like, you know, Paul Keating saying you either live in Sydney or you're camping out. Well, you're either, in football terms, you're either in the AFL or you're out of it, and if you're out of it, well, there's nowhere to go. I mean, people in Tassie, and there are the misty-eyed brigade, I have to say, who still lament the loss of the old local competitions, and, you know, they believe that somehow the glory days of those can be restored. But they can't, because these days the footy from all across mainland Australia is televised live, you know, day in, day out during the year. And if you've got a choice of going along and watching a local competition that ain't what it used to be, or sitting at home watching the big league on TV, it's a no-brainer. So Tassie has to be included if it's to have healthy football. And I should remind you and your listeners, and Malcolm, I know your history is pretty good, but in those glory days of the carnivals, this is when I was a kid, and this is why I feel so strongly about it. And the carnivals were like footy's Olympics in those days. And in 56 in Perth and in 58 at the Centenary Carnival in Melbourne, Tasmania beat South Australia at successive carnivals. And in 58, they also beat WA. Then in 1960, they had a win over a Victorian team at York Park. Perhaps lost among some of those is that in 1963, the team went to Perth and beat Western Australia. So Tasmania was producing mighty footballers in those times, but that's all been allowed to be lost. And the administrators, you know, it's high time, and I applaud the Tasmanian Premier because he's showing a bit of ticker and he's actually throwing down the gauntlet and saying, look, you know, it's time you blokes did something to try and lift us up. Otherwise, we're not going to keep forking out the millions that we've been putting into the coffers of a couple of Melbourne-based clubs.
Tim, I must say, over the journey working with you, obviously, and discussing things on radio and TV with you over the journey, you've been as consistent as anyone in this push for the Tasmanian team. I think you've got some guys like Jack Riewoldt now, obviously Nick Riewoldt. There's lots of luminaries would love Matthew Richardson. They'd all love to see this happen. The irony of that is that I just talked to our young producer and I was telling him, I did play against Tasmanian State Games, as David said, and the last one against them I played really was basically a carnival in Perth in 1972. They were very much part of the fabric of the Big Four, you know, and they, not that they won a lot, but they actually committed themselves and were good, and they got some great players out of it. So I see that. Now, one of the things that you mentioned earlier about the terminal decay, looking back at the numbers, and I had a quick look today, and we know that the drafting from Tasmania has become a drip. You get one, maybe two for the last 5-10 years. And I had a look at the number of players playing in the competition now. It's either 18 or 20, depending on who's retired and who's not and who's going to get a contract. But the irony of that also is that it's still 2% of the players of the 880 or 800-odd are from Tassie. It is 2% of the population. So Tassie still are providing, just through draft, they're not great, but they're at least been drafted, they are providing their share. Get back to a better competition and a better setup there, and I'm sure that will rise to 2.5 or 3%.
No doubt about it. I mean, Tasmania, in football terms, is a bit like a suburb of Melbourne, in that the people have long been fanatical about the football that's played in the state and, of course, now beyond, because it's a national game. And, yes, you know, they breed football, but there hasn't been the inspiration there for them to... And you know, Tasmania needs... There needs to be new ways of, I think, providing young Tasmanians with the level of competition that they need to be, you know, producing more, but I'm sure they will, given the encouragement that involvement in the National League would provide. And Malcolm, have a look at the Hall of Fame and the legend section, and you're one of them. And it's 29 or 30 now, and four of them are Tasmanian guys. And so they're all from that era that was talking about earlier. And you know, I do get misty-eyed because the footy in Tasmania was so good back then, but you know, from the mid-50s until sort of the mid and late 60s, Tasmania produced these great players. Four Tasmanians in the Hall of Fame, and I'm not saying it to score a point, but WA and South Australia have four between them.
Yeah.
Farmer Cable, Blight and Robren. That's how much Tasmania has punched above its weight. And when you look at it in that light, and that's a small sample, but it's illustrative of the contribution that Tasmania has been capable of making when it has, you know, felt included in the football scheme of things and gone to carnivals and played against the best and been given a chance to show its stuff.
Yeah, look, I think so. And having been through the Gold Coast situation too, you know, there's not an ending well of money. But I do think at some stage now that's settled down. I mean, COVID's upset a lot, we know that. But somewhere down the track, whether it be a 19th team or whether it be someone else redirected, that's up for the powers to be. But Tim, I just wanted to mention to David and our listeners that having done a number of games with you down in Tassie, as we did, we'd always try and find a little drinking hole somewhere around Launceston and have a little sip and discuss the footy. And I can't count on. There was just so many people that would come up to Tim and say, Tim, we need a team in Tassie. You know, I can clearly remember it. You know, the locals really wanted it. And, you know, they're the guys that are going to go to the footy, aren't they? Spend their money, be members. But they were passionate about the footy in Tassie.
And, look, I think that's grown too. On the other hand, and to be brutally frank, sometimes Tasmanians sort of exhibit a bit of an inferiority complex, and there are those who say it can't be done, we could never do it sort of thing. And there's no good reason for that, as I see it. But I feel as though the you know, the ones who are for it are growing in number and growing in conviction. And they've started really looking at this and asking themselves, you know, have we been given a fair deal in all of this? And, you know, I think the answer is a resounding no. People are starting to understand it. And the fact that a state premier now, you know, is prepared to dig his heels in on it, take the political risk, the football risk, in a sense, because hard to know what the AFL are going to do about this. But he's saying, we want a plan. You know, if we're going to keep putting money in, we want to know we've got a real future, not one that is just a matter of convenience for you and the clubs who are the beneficiaries of our money. So things are moving, and I think that's really good. I applaud the Premier without being political about it. I think he's done well. He also, a couple of years ago, his predecessor, Will Hodgman, appointed a task force under the chairmanship of a bloke named Brett Godfrey, who set up Virgin Airlines in Australia, and they produced a report for the government and then for the AFL. That and Brett Godfrey has said to me, he went into it by no means sure that he would come up with an affirmative answer, but by the end of it, he's really become a cheerleader for the Tasmanian cause because he believes in it.
We really need you for two parts, Tim, but just very quickly, on the cricket, India, absolutely remarkable, one of the most remarkable series I've seen from the way team to come back from 1-0 down. And very quickly, cricket or footy for you, which one do you prefer to call? What's your first choice?
Yeah, I've been asked that a lot over the years, and my answer has generally been the one that I'm doing in the moment.
Yeah.
And it's still a bit like that. But I suppose as I'm getting on, football continues to be exciting and stimulating. But it's also a bit tiring. And so, you know, doing a couple of games day and night through the course of a long season, if you ask me, sometime in mid-July, they'd probably say, bring on the bloody cricket. But and honestly, doing something that I've been doing in the last few weeks covering this series has been an absolute thrill. But, you know, I would never say that it was something I preferred broadcasting to the footy, because it's been my bread and butter it's actually getting on for 50 years, yeah. Would you believe?
Yeah.
And, I'm most grateful for all of that. And that's what brought me to sport, being taken to the footy by my dad, as the story for so many of us. And you never forget that.
Well, you do a great job. Thanks for your time, Tim.
Thanks, David. And Malcolm, good to chat.
Yeah, great good to stuff. Catch up again.
Tim Lane there, yeah, extraordinary broadcaster, both at cricket, footy and other things as well. For Tyre Power, selected Kumho tyres, you can buy three, get one free. Tyre Power, think safety this January. Get the 5-minute safety check at your local Tyre Power. Malcolm Blight and David Wilde, Sports Day SA.